Here's a very unpopular scripture. That is Proverbs 26. Let's turn over there. Proverbs 26. This is a very overlooked, underutilized, swept under the rug scripture that goes along with those four admonitions. Proverbs 26, 1. As snow in summer and as rain in harvest, so honor is not seemly for a fool. In other words, those three things should not happen. Shouldn't have snow in summer, shouldn't have rain at harvest time, and you shouldn't give honor to a fool. Then it goes on, verse 2, and as the bird by wandering, as the swallow by flying, so the curse causeless shall not come. Now, let me read two other translations that make that a little clearer. Like a sparrow in its flitting, like a swallow in its flying, a curse that is causeless does not alight. Another one says, like a fluttering sparrow or a swallow in flight, a curse without cause will not alight. In other words, we can say it this way, the curse causeless will not come. If you open the door to the devil, guess what? He comes in. That sounds exactly to me like 1 Peter chapter 5, verse 6. 1 Peter chapter 5, verse 6 says, humble yourself, therefore, under the mighty hand of God, that He may exalt you in due time, casting all your care upon Him, for He cares for you. He doesn't make you sick. He cares for you. Be sober and be vigilant, because your adversary, the devil, as a roaring lion, walks about seeking whom he may devour. Whom resists steadfast in the faith, knowing that the same afflictions are accomplished in your brethren that are in the world. So who can the devil devour? Him who invites the devil. Him who allows the devil to alight by not doing what's right in God's sight, not giving ears to His commandments, not keeping His statutes, not humbling himself, not being sober and be vigilant. In other words, you've got to be watchful to keep the devil off. And you got to recognize that the devil, you don't have to give him a great big bunch of room. He likes to get his foot in the door. Keep him out. The curse causeless shall not come. Don't give the sickness a cause. Don't open the door. And the second you hear him knocking the door, close it. Don't stand there and wonder who it is and have a conversation with him and then decide not to let him in. Why, he's already in. He's already in. James 3:14 says, but if you have bitter envying and strife in your hearts, glory not and lie not against the truth, for this wisdom does not descend from God or from above, but is earthly, sensual, and devilish. For where envy and strife is, there's confusion and every evil work, and we know sickness is an evil work. The curse causeless. Like I said, that's a very unpopular scripture. People say, you mean it might be my fault? Well, it ain't God's fault, and it's not my fault if you're sick. So, you got to learn to not give the devil a place. If you've sinned, ask forgiveness. That shuts the door. Resist the devil and he'll flee from you. Resist sickness. Like I've said, I've learned over the years, the devil's favorite thing to do to me is to give me a cold in my throat so I can't talk. He really likes that. You know, he'll do it when you're tired or in the middle of the night. But I have learned at that moment, I have got to say, no, devil, I refuse to be sick. I refuse to have a cold. I will not have it. No matter how tired I am, you don't go to sleep with symptoms or you'll wake up with a problem. Symptoms aren't the problem. Accepting the symptoms is the problem. I'll just tell you a story. It just came to me. I have a pretty tough constitution, meaning I can eat about anything. Doesn't mean I want to eat anything, just anything. But I've only eaten one thing in my life that's made me sick. A friend of mine went to Massachusetts or someplace years ago, and he came back with a bucket of clams. And he said, oh, these are really good. Oh, you know, we ate these, and so we opened these clams and ate them. Just as nasty as it sounds. And I got sick. Oh, did I get sick. And so he convinced me that it must have been, they were raw and they were bad. So later on, I ate cooked clams, not there, but in a restaurant, and I got sick. I have not eaten clams since. Now, if it was a steak, I would resist it. But I don't need clams. So years ago, when we first started this church, some people invited us to their house. They were having a party, and we went there. And they were serving these nice little clam cakes. I didn't know what they were. It was Saturday night. Got church the next day. I ate a couple of them. They were quite good. And I asked somebody what they were, and they said they were clam cakes. And I started sweating. And I started getting sick. And I told my wife, I said, we got to go home. I said, I've got to go home and get healed. So we're on the way home. She said, what's the matter? I said, I ate those clam cakes. She said, those weren't clam cakes. They were crab cakes. See, if you believe it, you have it. You see? You see what? And I was instantly healed. Now, the devil's a tricker. I heard somebody say clams, but they said crabs. And the idea of it, I mean, I was physically ill for no reason in the world except the devil told me. Just because you have symptoms, don't receive them. Don't make them yours. Don't people say, oh, I guess I'm coming down with a cold. Yes, you are. You will have what you say. Don't believe the devil. Don't believe symptoms. Did I feel foolish? Yes, I felt quite foolish. But I learned a lesson. That you can have symptoms and not have anything wrong, but you will have if you begin to confess that you do. So, what we just read here, what God told them, don't open the door to the devil, neither give place to the devil, basically was what he was saying. He's saying, these things won't come on you, and I'll keep them from you, but if you open the door, you've opened the door. You know, God won't close the door for you. He gave you two hands. Amen? Be not deceived. God's not mocked. Whatever you sow, you're going to reap. And if you've sowed wrong, you better sow some forgive me gods quickly. Now, I started to say this last week. I want to read again that email that I got from this lady. She said, I was talking to a pastor's wife, and she told me she has a certain disease, and I told her about your healing school. She said she didn't believe it was God's will to heal everyone. I started sharing some Bible verses with her. Then she told me she believes God put this on her. And later she said he allowed it to happen so that she could not be puffed up and would be able to relate to other people with this disease. She said, so this got me thinking. She said, Brother Hagin said that the Lord allowed him to injure his elbow because he was out of God's will. I was unsure of how to talk to this lady about this, because it seems to me that perhaps God does allow things if there's unconfessed sin in our life or we're not doing His will. Unquestionably, we just read it. He said, diligently listen to the voice of your God. Do what's right in His sight. Give ears to His commandments. Keep all of His statutes. The curse causeless or sickness causeless will not alight. And just because it knocks at the door, Brother Hagin used to say it this way, just because birds fly over your head, you don't have to let them make a nest in your hair. Amen? Just because symptoms come, you don't have to roll out the red carpet for them. Resist them. So yes, sickness will come on a Christian if they open the door with sin, disobedience. Here's another scripture that people don't like to hear, and that is, in the abundance of words, sin wanteth not. In other words, if you talk enough, you're going to open the door to the devil. Proverbs 10:19, in the abundance of words, sin wanteth not. Well, we could say that in the abundance of words, sickness wanteth not for a home. Amen? Jesus said this. Jesus, of course, understood that. He said this. In John 14:30, nearing the end of his life on this earth, he said to his disciples, I will no more speak with you much. I'm not going to speak much with you anymore. His explanation was, because the prince of the world cometh, and he has nothing in me. In other words, he said, I'm not going to give him a place. I'm not going to talk. You know, can you imagine if you were Jesus and you knew that you were going to the cross? I mean, he's known it for several years, but, you know, he set his face like flint. But, brother, payday's coming soon. And no matter what, you know, we saw the struggle he went through in the Garden of Gethsemane, because nobody's flesh wants to go through what he went through, and nobody wants to go to hell, and that's where he had to go, because the penalty of sin is death in hell. Now, if he to begin to talk about it to them, guess what? Amen. In the multitudes of words, sin wanteth not. Amen. So, God did not say, I put sickness and disease on the Egyptians. He did say, it came. We know it comes, but it doesn't come from God. There's another scripture. Can't remember just where it is. I'd have to look it up. But something to the effect that these things will gather together, but not by me. Amen? Not by me. These troubles will come, but they're not from me.